And I want you to take your Bible right now, will you please, and turn with me to the second book in the New Testament. That's the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm continuing my sermon series on access. It's a three-part sermon series. I began it last Sunday, and this is the second of three messages that we're hearing out of the Word of God about access. And I'll go ahead and tell you the reason I'm preaching these sermons about access is to prepare us for what God might be saying to us about making ourselves more accessible physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And you're going to hear more about that next Sunday morning. I hope you'll all be here in this building during the Sunday school hour at 9:40. And we're going to get started as quick as we can because we need to take roll. So each one of your classes will have a clipboard with your roll on it, and they will take attendance. And then we'll get right into it to talk about how we can make this wonderful campus that God has blessed First Baptist Church with more accessible physically, spiritually, and emotionally. And I do want to go ahead and add to the announcement that Trey made. We're having a meeting at 8:30. It's the same presentation for those that work in the preschool and the children's areas, because they'll be keeping the children and the preschoolers during the Sunday school hour next week. And so we wanted to give them the same exact presentation at 8:30 next Sunday. And for those that are watching little ones during the 8:30 service, we're going to get them substitutes so they can come over and be a part of this. And it's going to be important for our whole church family to find out how we can be more accessible as four guys made Jesus here in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And I want us to read together. You read silently as I read aloud, beginning in verse number 1. It says, "And again, he," that's Jesus, "entered Capernaum after some days, and it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately, many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them, and they came to him, bringing a paralytic who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you.' And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, "Arise, take up your bed and walk"? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, 'I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house.' And immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, 'We never saw anything like this.'" Wouldn't it be wonderful if we stepped out of this worship service today and everyone had that last sentence, that last statement on their lips? "Boy, I've been coming here for years and years and years, or months and weeks, and boy, we've never seen anything like that." Well, I can tell you right now, we've got all the ingredients we need that they had here in Mark chapter 2. Because the most important thing was that Jesus was in the house. And my dear friend, Jesus is in this house. Jesus is Lord of all. And he is Lord of First Baptist Church. But the second thing I see there in verse 2 is that Jesus wasn't just in the house, but he was giving people the Word of God. He was preaching the Word. And that's what you get here at First Baptist Church. We unashamedly open up our Bibles and we read from the Bible because this is our only authority when it comes to what we believe about God and Jesus and about the way the church ought to operate. And so I'm just going to keep on preaching with the Word. I'm a simple Bible preacher, and I don't know much more than that, but I'm smart enough to know that I should preach the Word of God in its entirety and for the people's benefit and for God's glory. And so that's what we have here, is a picture of something beautiful that can happen in our midst. But there was a problem right at the outset, wasn't there? In verses 1 and 2, we read that this man who was paralytic had four good buddies that wanted to get him into the presence of Jesus so that he could have his sins forgiven and so that he also could receive healing from God. And so they tried to get him to Jesus, but their access was denied. And, you know, he had a spiritual need. He needed spiritual access, but he could not receive spiritual access to God the Father through faith in Jesus until he first of all had physical access into God's presence. And that's what we're talking about here at First Baptist Church Noonan. People all around us need to have access to God the Father through a saving relationship in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have limitations here. We have physical limitations, which sometimes translate into emotional limitations. And even we have problems with spiritual access many times because of some of the challenges we have here. And we want to address each one of those so that those who have needs are not left outside on the doorstep. You know, this last month, I guess it was about 3 weeks ago, Jason and Kelly Preston celebrated their 16th wedding anniversary. I think we ought to give them a hand for 16 years of marital bliss. And I got to commend Jason. Boy, he did it right. He took Kelly to New York City. And man, they did all the things that you want to do when you go to New York City. They went to the Empire State Building, and from the heights of that skyscraper were able to view the city of New York, and went to a Broadway play. Kelly, I can't believe you got Jason to go to a Broadway play. And then also went to Chinatown. They went to see the 9/11 Memorial and Museum and so many other neat things. And one night, they were at Times Square, right in the middle of New York City, and they were sitting on the steps, and of course Times Square was just abuzz with people all around them. And Kelly's heart sank because of the spiritual darkness she saw in that crowd that night. And so she got home, and the night before I began this sermon series, Saturday, October 4th, she wrote down some words, and they are powerful words. I asked her and Jason if I could share these words with you. She had emailed them to me Sunday afternoon after my first message on Access, and I know why she emailed them to me, because the night before, not even knowing what I was going to preach, she used the word access in her little essay, and it was just God's timing. And so, with her permission, I would like to read to you a couple of paragraphs out of Kelly's experience there that night at Times Square while she was sitting on the Times Square steps watching the people go by. And I quote, "I got to thinking about Guangzhou, China, the only other city that I've been to that comes close to the size and population of New York City. I spent 2 weeks there in November 2013 adopting Jenna, and I absolutely loved it. Being immersed in the Chinese culture was amazing. But I also remember being overcome with sadness about the millions of Chinese people who have never heard the name of Jesus because of very limited access to the gospel. So on one hand, we have a city right here in America, New York City, with a population of just under 8.5 million people. And many live in denial of who God is, even though they have plenty of access to the gospel. In contrast, Guangzhou has even more people, a little over 8.5 million, and most of them will go through their lives without ever having access to the gospel. So what's the answer? Or I should say, who's the answer? Jesus. Close quotes. Kelly's right. Jesus is the one and only answer for those people in China and in New York City where access to the gospel has been denied. And even here in Noonan, Georgia, Jesus is the answer. Jesus was in the house, and he was preaching the matchless word of God, and he wants to touch lives who have been estranged from him, who have had walls and barriers put up between him and the need of people who have the need of a Savior. So we see access denied, but go on with me here in this story in verse 3. And notice our second point, access provided. In verse 3, it says, there were four men who carried the paralytic. Now, we don't know the names of these four buddies of this lame man. They're not given to us, but I'm going to give them names today. I'm going to give them the four names of our church's purpose statement. One guy's name on one corner of the mat was named Come. Another guy on another corner of the mat was named Connect. Another guy on one of the back corners of the mat was named Grow. And then the last guy on the fourth and final corner of the mat was named Go. And I can just see these four buddies coming to the lame friend and saying to him, you know, Jesus is in Capernaum. And the first guy named Come saying, I want to invite you to come. I want to help carry you so that you can come into the presence of Jesus and worship him just like we've worshiped him here today. And we can worship him as the great physician. We can worship him as our healer and our redeemer. And then as he was finishing up that statement, Connect almost interrupted him, the fourth friend on the other corner of the pallet, and said, well, I want us to go and connect with these other people who are there, many of them being taught the word of God by Jesus. But the first and most important connection we need to make is with Jesus, because he's the one that has the words of life. So we need to go and get under the preaching of the word of God in a place like a Sunday school class and make a connection, a spiritual connection with Jesus and a spiritual connection with those who are just like us, learning about what Jesus is all about. And as he's finishing up, he gets interrupted by the third friend who's on one of the back corners of the mat. And his name's Gro, and says, oh man, I want to invite you too. To come and hear Jesus' words of life so that we can grow. So that we can grow in grace and in knowledge. And then the fourth and final guy interrupts all of them and says, you know, we need to go. It's time. It's getting late. We need to go right now. And we need to get our friend in the presence of Christ. We're going to be going through some very difficult situations. There are going to be some barriers there. It's not going to be easy, but we need to go into the difficult situation so our friend can be brought to the Savior. Come, connect, grow, go. That's what we ought to be all about as believers here And that's what our purpose and mission should be here at First Baptist Church. We need to be the four friends that are going out into these communities and bringing people into this house so that they can worship the great physician, the healer, and the redeemer of our souls, so that they can be connected with Christ by faith and hear his word and be with other people who are being taught his word. And we need to be about the business of faithfully teaching the word of God in our Bible study groups so that people can grow in grace and knowledge. And then after we have come and we have connected and we have started growing, then we need to go. We need to go out in the mission field, not just here in Noonan, Georgia, but across the world in these dark places where there's persecution, where there's no access to the gospel. That's what these four friends did. And I want you to notice something else there. In verse 4, it says, they uncovered the roof and they let down the bed. If you please, I don't think I'm doing any harm to the scripture by saying, in my estimation, this was the first building project in the New Testament. They opened up the roof and they made an elevator shaft so that they could put their friend on that elevator, that mat, and drop him right down into the presence of God. Just imagine that scene. Here's the owner of the house. He's listening to Jesus teach, and all of a sudden he feels some dust particles on his head. And then he starts seeing some plaster on his dining room table. And before long, it's big chunks of stuff that's coming down. And he looks up, and there are these four guys up there peering at him through a hole in his roof. It was messy. And friend, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, if we by faith get engaged in this campaign that we're talking about, it's going to be messy. If we put in an elevator, boy, we're going to have some messy days around here. If we do some of the things we want to do in this building, we're going to have weeks of mess that we're going to have to live with. But it's going to be exciting. And you're going to hear an idea next Sunday morning during Sunday school about an elevator from our facilities team. This morning, this very morning, I was coming up the fellowship hall steps over here and met Coach Max Bass. He had just finished his assignment of being out here on Madison Avenue, welcoming all the young families and their preschoolers and children as they come in. His assignment was over. And as I was coming up those fellowship hall steps, Brother Max, who's had numerous hip surgeries, was standing there at the foot of the stairwell, wondering how he was going to get himself and his walker up that stairwell. And sweet Myra Smith was right behind him. She was willing to carry his heavy walker up behind him. But when Coach Bass caught a glimpse of me, he said, "You don't have to do that. Let's let the preacher do it." And I was happy to do it. You know, Max Bass has done so much for our community. And by the way, congratulations to Noonan High School in East Coweta for putting on a very, very entertaining football game this last Friday night. Coach Bass was the coach of Noonan High School for years and years and years. He's done much for our community, much for our church. But I don't mind telling you, it makes me hurt when this morning I followed behind this legendary football coach carrying his walker and watching him struggle up those steps and knowing that we could, if we had the faith of these four men, put an elevator right there where he would not struggle. And friend, you don't have to look far around this worship service this morning and see people who have mobility issues. We need to remove every barrier that keeps people from coming into the presence of God as we worship him and as his word is taught and preached. So that's what it was, and it was a barrier that was removed. Now look at the fifth verse here. It says, this is interesting, when Jesus saw their faith, not just the lame man's faith, there in the plural. Yeah, he saw the lame man's faith, but he also saw the four guys' faith. So read that with me. Look there in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, these five fellas' faith, He said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you." You see, the paralytic man, stick with me here, needed two kinds of access. He needed spiritual access to God the Father through Jesus' forgiveness. That's what he needed. But before he could get that, he needed physical access. And that physical access was provided by the faith of these four friends, Come, Connect, Grow, Go. I mean, just think how much faith it took for them to go up on that roof and start tearing that roof apart. They might have thought, well, we're going to get in trouble for this. We might get arrested for this. But God rewarded their faith. And they had a whatever it takes mentality, and we need to adopt that kind of mentality from now and forever on and remove every barrier, every hindrance, every impediment from people getting to Jesus. And so there, this paralytic, he had a physical access problem, but his main problem was spiritual access. And that's why it says when Jesus saw their faith, not just the four guys' faith, but the paralytic's personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, he forgave his sins. Oh, dear friend, you might be here today, lost as a one-eyed goose in a hailstorm. You don't know John from Jerusalem, but you do know this. You know you need a Savior. You know you need hope. And today, hope is here because Jesus is in the house. And all you have to do is believe in his matchless name, receive his forgiveness, and you'll be provided access through Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, into the very presence of God himself. Two kinds of access, very important. Physical access and spiritual access. Now, I want you to see something here. Notice in verses 6 and 7, access criticized. Look there in verse 6. It says, and some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. You know, a bunch of old guys, a bunch of old religious guys, sitting around chewing the fat. They got everything figured out, know how to figure out the world and solve all the problems in the world. You know those kind of guys. And then in verse 7, they started asking after they were reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone? Blasphemies is the most powerful word in verses 6 and 7. You want to know what a definition of blasphemy is? Here it is, very simple. Blasphemy is calling the work of God the Holy Spirit the work of the devil. Whenever you see God up to something amongst his people and in the world, and you don't recognize it as being from God, and you say, you know what, the devil's doing that, then you have committed the sin of blasphemy. And that is a serious sin. You want to know how serious it is? Take a right-hand turn in your Bible, one page. Go to Mark chapter 3, verse 29. Mark chapter 3, verse 29. Jesus' words. You'll see that same word blasphemy here. What's good here in those pages turn? You're not taking my word for it, are you? You're taking God's word for it. Mark 3, 29. Jesus says, but he who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is subject to eternal condemnation. The ultimate blasphemy is to see God at work, especially in the life of a sinner, and say, that's not God, that's the devil. Even in your own life, when God's moving and stirring in your heart and you just discount it as not being from God, but from the devil, Jesus' word's not mine. It's an unforgivable sin. And none of us in a million years wants to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. When God's trying to do something, When God's at work, we need to be the last ones to say, that's not of God, it's of the devil. Because you're walking the tightrope without a net. You better make real sure that what you're saying is right. We'll go back to our text, Mark chapter 2, because we got to finish out this sermon. We've seen access denied. We've seen access provided. We've seen access criticized. Now we see access confirmed in verse number 8. Verse 8 says, "But immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, 'Why do you reason about these things in your heart? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven you, or say, arise, take up your bed and walk?'" And by the way, the paralytic's sins had nothing to do with his paralysis. God was not punishing him because of his sins with a physical problem. And don't make that mistake. His main problem was his sin problem. And the lesser problem, really, was his physical limitations. But Jesus addressed both of them. They'll go on here in verse 10. "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately he rose, took up the bed, and went out of the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." This is what happened. Jesus was in the presence of a bunch of unbelievers who said, "Man, you don't have the power to forgive sins." And so Jesus said, "You want to see a confirmation that I have the power to forgive sins? Do you want to see evidence that I have the power to forgive sins? Do you want to see the absolute proof that I have this ability? Then, son, get up off your bed and walk." And he got up off his bed, and he had access physically like he'd never had it before. Walking in and out of the house, running, jumping up and down the street, where places were once inaccessible for him, he now had access. And it tells me to tell you that the greatest proof of a person who's been saved is a transformed life. See the difference that God has made in their life. See how their walk is different. See how their talk and their lifestyle is different. And then you'll know God has done the miracle of salvation in their life. We are so blessed to have new members in our church. And a few years back, God really blessed us when he gave us the Bentley family. And Tony's here about 6-7 rows back in the middle section. His wife Winnell's down in Fort Myers visiting grandkids. And I'll never forget the first time I heard Tony's testimony. It's a powerful one. Tony was a hard worker all his life, had tremendous work ethic, did a great job. But Tony was an anti-church person. He would tell you that. Winnell and the kids would go to church, and Tony, in his own words, said it made him mad. And when they invited him to go to church with them, it made him really mad. He didn't want anything to do with church. And Tony was profane. He cussed like a sailor. He was a gambler, going to Las Vegas and I don't know where all. He had an unredeemed life. But now he is one of the greatest servants of God in this church. He goes out every week and visits our homebound, our shut-ins, people in nursing facilities, not just him. We've got a team of great guys and women that go out and do this. And he's one of the finest servants of God. God so transformed his life. I want to tell you how it happened. Tony was going to work one day, and he's giving one of his coworkers a ride. His coworker stepped into the pickup truck, and he had some marijuana with him. And he showed Tony the marijuana, and Tony said, "You're going to have to get out of here with that." Tony had some convictions about drugs, at least. And so he really didn't see this guy for a long time. And after some time had passed, he saw this guy who had brought marijuana into his truck. And his life was totally and radically changed. And Tony asked him, "What has happened to you?" He said, "I got saved. Jesus saved my soul." And it so worked on Tony's heart that he got saved. He stopped cussing. He stopped gambling. He started going to church. The kids didn't even recognize him. They asked, "Mom, what's happened to Dad? What's wrong with Dad?" I tell you what's wrong with Dad. He got redeemed. And his walk, which used to be all crooked and bow-legged and out of line, was now straight as an arrow. He'd been transformed for God's honor and for His glory. And friend, when you get saved, God's going to change your walk. God's going to change your talk. But you've got to have access to Him first. And that comes by faith. Personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then faith on our part as the lost person's friend to remove any impediment, to remove any hindrance, to remove any barrier so that they can come to Christ. In a few moments, I'm going to be standing right down here at this altar. We're all going to stand together. We're all going to sing. And I'm going to invite you to come. And as soon as your legs straighten up, wherever you're seated, I'm going to invite you to come. And you know, some of you, it's going to be difficult. Maybe you're sitting up there in the balcony. You're going to have to ask maybe four or five people to excuse you if you're sitting right in the middle of one of those pews. And then you're going to have to come down these stairs. You're going to have to come through these double doors. You're going to have to walk down this aisle. But friend, I wouldn't let wild horses keep me from coming to Jesus today and doing what He wanted me to do today if He is calling me. You might be sitting right in the middle of a pew here this morning. And it's going to take you a lot of effort to get out into the aisle. But I would not let anything be my excuse for not accessing God by faith. You ask that person next to you to excuse you, and they'll step aside and they'll pray for you as they come. And they'll rejoice with you as you come. Don't let anything hinder your access to God today. Maybe it's the fact you've already been saved, but God's calling you into the life of this church. I invite you to come today. Don't let anything stand in your way if the Spirit is leading you. And I want to pray for you right now. Oh, dear Father, we thank You so much for Jesus. We thank You that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, today I pray for those who need a Savior, for those that need a church home. Father, I pray that today might be a day of great victory for them and victory in the life of our church so that we can leave this place today and say we never saw anything like that before. And Father, as You do these things in our midst, we'll give You the praise, the credit, the honor, and the glory because You're the only one that deserves it. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.